If you have your Bibles with you this morning, we'd like to open them to Matthew 20. We will be reading starting with 21 through 16. It'll also be on the screen, and so you can look at it there. You know, folks, as we stop and we think about the workers in the vineyard, the parable that Jesus was teaching, we know that that the disciples, if you look back, I think it's in about the 13th verse, the disciples were kind of, you know, they were with Jesus all the time. And that'd be like me being with Brian, and I have to stop and say every now and then, hey, Brian, what you talking about there? Because you run off and left me, you know. But and that's what happens a whole lot of the times, Irvin. That's the way it happens, Kenny. But they didn't understand 100% about what Jesus was doing talking in these parables. And so they would ask him, why are you speaking in these parables? And if you stop and look and think about it, if you went back to Isaiah, the 6th chapter, then when he said, here I am, send me. And if you read that, if you go back in Isaiah, the 6th chapter, and you read that, and he's saying, okay, here I am, Lord, send me. And he's saying, okay, you go. But there's going to be people that will not understand. Their hearts are hardened. They're not going to have anything. They're not going to understand anything about what you're talking about. And so here we come, and Jesus is here, and we're into the parables, and the disciples are saying, Jesus, they don't understand. We don't understand. We don't understand everything that you're trying to tell us. And He says, you know, some people won't understand because their hearts are not focused upon me. Their hearts are not where they need to be. And so, therefore, they can't understand. And so then we see, if you back up just a couple of verses, that in the 19th chapter, we see that that the disciples were arguing over a position, you know. They're wanting a position. They're not, even after they leave here, they're wanting a position. So we're seeing that they're all about themselves as well as about God and about Jesus. They're thinking about themselves all the time. Now, I know none of us ever think about ourselves, do we? We're just interested in everybody else, and we're interested in Jesus and all that good stuff. And so we know that's the way we think. But that's not the way they thought. And they were, like I say, with Jesus every day. So here Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven when he's talking about the vineyard, the landowner. He's talking about the kingdom of heaven. And the workers, that's us, folks. That's the people that's coming to the kingdom of heaven. That's the ones that are eager to get there, and they get there early and are hired early. And that's the ones that's going to be later. So let's read the scripture. For the kingdom of heaven is like the landowner who went out early one morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay the normal daily wage and sent them out to work. At 9 o'clock in the morning, he was passing through the marketplace and saw some people standing around doing nothing. So he hired them, telling them that he would pay them whatever was right at the end of the day. So they went to work in the vineyard, and at noon and again at 3 o'clock, he did the same thing. And at 5 o'clock that afternoon, he was in town again and saw some more people standing around. And he asked them, why haven't you been working today? And they replied, because no one hired us. The landowner told them, go out and join the others in the vineyard. That evening, he told the foreman to call the workers in and pay them, beginning with the last workers first. When those hired at 5 o'clock were paid, each received a full day's wage. When those hired first came to get their pay, they assumed they would receive more, but they too were paid a day's wage. And when they received their pay, they protested to the owner. Those people worked only 1 hour, and yet you've paid them just as much as you paid us who worked all day in the scorching heat. He answered one of them, friend, I haven't been unfair. Didn't you agree to work all day for the usual wage? Take your money and go. I wanted to pay the last worker the same as you. Is it against the law for me to do what I want with my money? Should you be jealous because I am kind to others? So those who are last now will be first then, and those who are first will be last. This is a reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, folks, there's a lot said here, and it's two or three different ways that you could talk about this parable. But this morning, I want us to stop, and I want us to first think about ourselves. If you stop and you think about this chapter, Matthew chapter 20, when you get home, you can look at it, and don't get all caught up in it right now, but when you get home, you can look at it, and you can kind of see where we're coming from. This Matthew chapter 20 is a whole lot about selfishness. It's a whole lot about the kingdom of heaven. And those two things today is what we want to stop and just think about. We know that as the landowner said, that he went out early at 9 a.m. and he hired some workers to work for him all day. Now that would probably mean till about 9 that night, you know, they would get a full 12 hours. And that would be a hard day's work. So they're thinking, because I know what they're thinking, because I've been there before, when we would work all day and then maybe somebody else would come and because we had to have them, would come in the middle of the day, and it seemed to me like they done better than I did, and I'd been there all day. And I wasn't happy about that, Charles. And I can guarantee you that's happened to me a bunch of times in my life. So, folks, all them times that we see in our life, things that's going on, we see things when we're young. We see things that have happened to us as we look back upon our life. I used to wonder, every day I wondered, why, Lord, am I living in this, all of this mess? You may have to cut that phone off, bro, or flip it on silent. But I would wonder, why, Lord, am I in such a place that I'm in? That's all we done. We work. That was what we done every day. We work, folks. And it didn't matter about play day unless Mr. Guy Wormley drove up and he said, come on, boy. And that might mean that we're going to go work for him that day, or it might mean we're going fishing. And that was the break that we hope to have every day. So I can understand where these vineyard workers are coming from. Here at noon, they come in with another load of workers. And then at 3 o'clock, here comes another load. And at 5 o'clock, here comes some more. But you know, Jesus, in His grace, He is so, so wonderful and so, so good, that He tells us it's not like it is here on earth. The kingdom of heaven's going to be entirely different than being here on earth. You're going to be, you might have accepted Jesus Christ early in life, and you're going to be willing to work for Him for the rest of your life. And then there's going to be people that will come to know Him right at the end of their life, and they will inherit the kingdom of heaven. Just like we read in Ephesians 3 a while ago. It's for everyone. It's not for a certain group. And so we see these workers that are very, very selfish. Folks, we all know how this is. They were very selfish and they thought they were being cheated. Because when the vineyard, the man that owned the vineyard got ready to pay them, He paid them all the same, no matter how long they'd been there. Now, here on this earth, folks, when we think about being paid all the same each and every day for everything that goes on, we've been here all day, and they come in, been here a couple hours, they get the same pay we got. That's not going to work. I'll just quit and go home. I'm not going to put up with it. That's in our head, and that's what happens. If we feel that we're being mistreated any at all, we'll quit and go somewhere different. I've quit a blue million jobs. I don't even know how many jobs I've had. And Randy knows that. I mean, I just like a wave. But when something didn't suit me, I was down the road to go. It didn't matter. But folks, that's not the way we should live our lives. I've lived my life very unsettled when it come to work and come to the job market. I got a real good pension, and my pension comes from this book right here, but I don't have any kind of pension in this world that we live in, because I work a year here and a 2 year there. I never worked anywhere over 7 years. And it got to be 7 years, I'd quit and go somewhere different just because I could. But when I started preaching, it's been 20 years better, I never had a desire to not bring the Word of God to the people of God. It has been the best, most wonderful time in my entire life. But as far as the world goes, folks, we are selfish. We're very selfish. If you read this chapter and you continue to look at the chapter, Jesus is talking about serving others. And we see some selfishness there. And also, at the end of the chapter, you see Jesus talking about healing two blind beggars. And what did the people do when he healed these beggars? They protested. They said, "Sit down, shut up, leave the man alone." They were hollering for him to come to their aid and to heal them. And the guys with him and were walking with Jesus were saying, "Shut up, leave them alone." And Jesus stopped and he healed the beggars. Because the first will be last and the last will be first. If you stop and you think about the vineyard workers, folks, they were blind to what was actually theirs. Brian talked about the prodigal son here a few weeks ago. And the older son was totally blind to what was his. He had the whole kingdom. He had the whole farm. He had everything in the cupboard. You know, everything is there for him. The young son had went out, squandered, and come back. And yes, it didn't look like that was fair, but he came back and the father welcomed him back into the kingdom. But it didn't suit the older one, did it? He didn't like it at all. You know, it's kind of like going to grandma's house. When we was kids, we'd go to grandma's house and you got anything that was there to eat. You know, everything was wide open. It was yours. And Christian, he came home the other day and he brought his girlfriend with him. And he told her, he said, "Sonia," he said, "come here, I want to show you something." And she said, "What's that?" And he walked in there and he said, "Here's the cupboard." He said, "Here's grandma's pantry." He said, "Everything in here can be yours. You just eat anything you want. You don't even have to ask grandma because she don't care." And you know, that's the kingdom of heaven, folks. That's how God treats us. Grandma don't care. Grandma never cared when I was a kid. You could have whatever it was that was there. These workers had the day invested. You may have your whole life invested. You may have more time than anybody else invested. But folks, people are going to be there in heaven. That thief on the cross, he's going to be there in heaven. He didn't have but a few hours invested. Their wages are the same for the kingdom of heaven. To me, it's the most wonderful parable about grace that can ever be talked about, except maybe the parable of the son, which I like really well too, showing lots and lots of grace. This parable shows you grace, folks. This parable opens that door to grace as to what it actually is. You can be like the people that were following the blind man, hollering from the "sit down, shut up," because they're with Jesus. They're somebody, the religious leaders. We're going be somebody. We're going to follow Jesus, and we're going to get us a position out of this deal. We're going to get something greater than you're going to get. It's not going to happen, folks. The religious leaders that was following Jesus, when they got to the blind man, they couldn't even see Jesus. The religious leaders, they had their eyes. They could not even see Jesus. Even though they were looking at him, they could not see Jesus because they were totally blind to what he had come to do and how he had come to set his kingdom up. Totally blind. But the blind men sitting over here on the side of the road, they said, "Son of David." They knew who Jesus was, that he was an heir of David. "Come to me and heal me." And what did he do? He stopped and he healed them. What grace, what love he has for those that cannot do for themselves. To me, that's this chapter is just an awesome, awesome chapter. So we see that the kingdom of heaven is open to everyone. The door is wide open. But you have to be willing to come into the vineyard. You have to be willing to come and to be a part of this harvest. You have to be a part of working in the vineyard. And I just know today there's people out here, folks. We know people. We may have someone sitting here today that thinks that I'm wasted all my life. I haven't done anything for the kingdom. I've wasted it. And there's no need in me coming to the Lord. I don't have time to get started working. I don't have time to do the things for him I want to do. Folks, we're just ready. You don't have to. The wage is the same. You just have to come and accept the fact that you have accepted Jesus Christ. They accepted the job. The job paid the same for the last hour or the first hour. The very way the kingdom of heaven is going to be. So folks, as we stop and we think about Jesus and we think about him telling these parables and we think about how in the world did people understand what he's talking about, how would you have ever understood these things as Jesus was talking and telling these parables? And this is what the disciples was asking him. And he said, only you'll understand if you're focused on me, if you're listening to, if you're in tune with me, or if you really know what's going on. This morning I noticed Kenny sitting over with his phone and he was ticking on that mandolin and it was telling him what the deal was. And that's crazy. I've never seen that before. But, you know, you see something new every day. But he was doing that. And he was in tune with that mandolin. And he's listening to what it sounds like and looking at that phone. Are you in tune with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Sometimes I think, folks, that we as Christians, we are more interested in what position that we're going to have in life and where we're going to be recognized in life and what people's going to think about us in the real life down here instead of the life in the kingdom of heaven. You know, at 67 years old, there was a time in my life when I was concerned about what maybe I could have got accomplished in the world that we live in. But it wasn't many years until I learned that I'm probably not going to accomplish anything in this world to speak of. And I quit worrying about it. All I needed to do was make some grocery money. All I needed to do was pay some electric bills. All I needed to do was keep me a job. And that's all I focused on here. I didn't worry about the money. I didn't worry about what we'd done. But we do. People do. But there was a time I did, folks. There was a time when I worked every hour of the day that I could work to try to get ahead of this world. And it didn't work. It didn't work. There's so many stories I could tell you about that. But it don't work. And some Sunday evening, if you want to hear some of them, just give me a call and I'll sure tell you. You can fight this world and you may end up a billionaire. You may end up everything you think you've accomplished here. But what have you really accomplished? Where is your position with the Lord? Where's your relationship with the Lord? Do you get up every day, the first thing you think about is putting my relationship with the Lord in front of everything else? Most of us don't, folks, because we have a living. We got to make a living. We got a family. We got things we want to accomplish in our lives. But that's all backseat stuff. If you want to ride in the front seat, then you have to have this relationship with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, these blind men, they knew that. They knew that they had to call upon Jesus and call upon His name because they could hear Him coming. They could hear this crowd coming down the road. They didn't know where He was exactly. So they go to hollering, "Hey, come to me. I don't know where you're at. I can't see you." But yet, they knew Jesus. The religious leaders could see. They didn't have a clue. The vineyard workers, they were there all day long with the vineyard owner, the landowner, and they didn't have a clue how generous he really was, how much he really wanted to bless each one. All they were interested in was themselves. Folks, it's easy to be focused on ourselves, our feelings. In the world that we live in today, that comes before everything else. It's the main agenda on everybody's mind and heart is the feelings that we have. If my feelings get hurt, I can't deal with it. I'm out of here. And we know that if your feelings get hurt in the world that we live in, that it is also not only am I out of here and I'm not going to have anything else to do with you, I'm sure not going to forgive you. Because you have really hurt my feelings. What is feelings, folks? I mean, yeah, you got feelings. You get your feelings hurt. Daddy would always tell me, "Get over it, dude. It's not going to matter if your feelings are hurt. If your feelings is the only thing hurt, I'll give you something else to be hurt." I've heard all them stories about your feelings being hurt. And it don't matter. And it don't matter to me today when I'm looking at TV or I'm looking at somebody's life and how they react to different things. Your feelings get hurt. What difference does it make? It doesn't. It's not worth the time of day. But we react to it because it is our agenda. So we say, how in the world, Mike, do we stay focused? How in the world are we going to stay focused on Jesus Christ? Well, folks, first of all, the first thing you got to do is you got to be in love with Jesus. If you're not in love with Jesus and the Father and you want the Holy Spirit to be poured out upon you, you're not going to. Your feelings and everything around you is going to be all messed up all the time. But if you're in love with Jesus Christ, you're in love with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, then we have a wonderful life if you really look at it. But you got to stop and think about this love. And what is this love that I'm showing Jesus? And look at what He's given back to you. His grace is poured out all over you. His grace is poured out from daylight till dark, folks. He is doing something for you. Now you think the preacher, I bet you, me and Brian, you think we don't have all these issues? Oh yeah, we got the worst of them. Because as Tammy says, the devil comes and moves in with us on Saturday morning. He stays in the basement all weekend. And then we got to deal with him plus everything else that's going on all weekend. And that's the truth. Because lots of things happen around our house. Lots of things. But you have to understand that when you're in love with Jesus, He pours His grace upon you to a point that you will not want or desire anything else but that love, that feeling of His love around you. Folks, I hope you understand that love. I hope you know that grace. And then one day, He's going to call us home. And one day, as I kid Brian and them all the time, I won't come in the front door like I did Wednesday. I'll come in the back door. And I come in the back door most of the time anyway, so I practice on that where they'll be ready for me. But I come in the back door at Ridgeway's a lot. But Wednesday, I went in the front door like I somebody. That felt pretty good. I hadn't been in that front door in many, many years, really. I always go around the side. But folks, one day, we're going to be coming in the door of the kingdom of heaven. You're going to be there. And I hope that each one of us knows and understands that it is available. That daily wage for the last hour or the first hour, it's going to be the same. Jesus tells us. I don't tell you. Jesus tells us. We just read it. So it's available. It's available to all the workers. All the workers that come, no matter what hour of the day it is. Folks, I hope you tell your family and your friends the availability of this heavenly kingdom, which is there for all. Because there's so many people that find themselves wishing that they had made this decision early in life, and they feel so unworthy today that they feel like that they cannot accept it because there is not a place for me in that kingdom. I will just let it slide. I'll just let it go. And then one day it'll all come down and hopefully God will know my heart. Why not just answer that call today, just like Isaiah did in the 6th chapter? Why not just answer that call and say, "Here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Use me. Use me." And the Lord says, there's going to be people that won't listen to you. There's going to be people with hard hearts. But it don't matter. There's always going to be people that's going to think you're crazy. But you take that word into the world and let Jesus water it like He is today. Let Him water it. And let Him multiply it. And you build your relationship with Him while you're here. And you watch the grace that is extended to you. You may not see it here on this earth, but you will see it one day, folks. It will be handed to you. I hope we all know that. I hope you all hear the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Take it out into the world. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.